Breeze Noon Time News, 13 minutes in front of your 1 o'clock hour. We check in with a state representative and Speaker of the House. We have Lisa Damath joining us, as we do every Friday. Lisa, hope you're doing well.
I am doing well. Good to talk with you, Joe, and hello and happy Friday to your listeners, too.
Yeah, that weather has to make everybody feel better, I would assume.
You know, I am in district today, and I had an opportunity to grab some lunch over at Jill's Cafe in Richmond, and people were smiling, probably because of the food, but also I think because of the weather.
I think so, too. Did you have pie over at Jill's, too, or no?
No, actually. I filled up on lunch, which was lovely, so I didn't leave room for pie, but it looked amazing.
Well, Randy says they're almost going to rename the number 13 the Randy Rothstein, whatever that is on the menu. So
I'm going to have to look at that next time. Well, we've had a really full week at the Capitol this week. Some of the good things that I had a chance to do, you know, when you and I talk, Joe, one of my favorite things is to hear from Minnesotans, but specifically constituents, about issues that are important to them, maybe that we have agreement, maybe that they see differently. But this week I had a chance to be on a panel with MREA and a couple of other legislators, but MREA, Minnesota Rural Electric Association. So in my district, we have Stearns Electric. I have a little bit of Meeker Co-op that hits a little part of my district. And so I had a chance to talk all things energy. And the stance that House Republicans, but that I carried forward, is making sure that our energy in the state of Minnesota is safe and reliable and affordable. And in my mind and the minds of many Minnesotans, that is all of the above, that we can't vilify certain types of energy. We need it all here, whether we're very cold or if we're very hot in the summer. We need it all. I also had a chance to visit with the Minnesota Retailers Association. Some of the things that were very much on their mind as they came to the Capitol are organized retail theft or crime. And, you know, when you think about it, Joe, in District 13A, we just want people to work hard and be able to afford their lives. But when there are organized areas of theft that really hit our retailers hard, small and large, that means it makes everything more expensive in the services, you know, in the things that they are selling and that are making available to us. So really interesting week. Much more, but those are kind of two highlights for me.
Can you give an example of the organized retail theft thing? I've heard of it before, but that's something that goes on and it's an organized type effort, or?
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, you never want to talk too much about giving people with bad intent more ideas, but they're talking about this, and it's a couple of different ways. It can be some small, you know, hitting different stores, or even larger, into intercepting from manufacturers or wholesalers into the local stores, you know, interrupting those deliveries. It can be something like that. But what we really need to do is make sure that we're having very, very strong penalties for those that are caught doing this. And then, of course, empowering our local law enforcement to carry out law enforcement activities when there are issues of crime and theft. On top of that, Joe, like we talk in any type of crime here in Minnesota, is we need our judges to really uphold the law and enforce those penalties rather than downward departures or smaller amounts of penalties. That doesn't help people learn their lessons. So it's an interesting thing when you talk about the organized retail crime that most people day to day aren't paying attention, but it does drive up the cost, either for, you know, they're looking at ways of prevention in our stores or having to cover the cost of items that were stolen. So it's something we need to really get a handle on.
You know, I've even heard some employees at some businesses, whatever it may be, but hearing it secondhand, where they're almost encouraged to let it go. Don't even confront, don't even deal with it as it goes on. Whether, you know, I think this was more like a convenience store atmosphere.
Yeah, and you know, I think a lot of times when you have businesses that are choosing to make that the way things are handled within their store, really what they are looking out for is the safety of their employees. It's not that they want loss to just go out their doors. They don't want to see things stolen, but they also don't want to put their employees in a very dangerous situation if they would confront those that are stealing.
Lisa, so, when you were talking about that first topic there regarding like energy and such, is do data centers, does that evolve into that conversation? It seems like we even have A groups bring that up as a concern.
Yeah, so data centers are something that are large and they do take quite a bit of energy. We have data centers in the state of Minnesota. There's more that are coming, and that really does provide jobs for a number of years as they're being built, but then ongoing jobs for the upkeep and, you know, as things are moving forward in the data centers. House Republicans, I will name Tax Chair Greg Davids, he carried the first bill on a data center back, I believe it was even in 2015. So data centers are more talked about right now, but they've been around for many, many years. Some of the misinformation is the pressure that data centers can put on our environment, thinking that they use much water and different things like that. Most of the data centers have closed systems and they use very little water. So I think, think Google and some of these other large companies that want to build data centers here in Minnesota, those centers to support all of the online and work that gets done now because of our changing way of doing things, they are looking for places that have cooler temperatures because this equipment, and I've never toured one yet. I look forward to it. I'll report back to you, Joe. They need to keep equipment cool. And they want, you know, a good solid workforce. And so those are the things they look for when they're choosing a state to build a data center in. Well, we have cooler temperatures clearly for half of our year that really support that. We have an ability to protect our environment. Again, these systems are closed. They don't waste water. That used to be the misconception that was out there. They do use energy. Yes, they do. And then they have diesel backups. So they're not running diesel engines that people are concerned about running too much. Those are just for backups if they would need it. There's much more to learn for the average Minnesotan, but they are a good thing for our economy here in Minnesota. And then we have to also be able to answer some of the questions or the pushback concerns that Minnesotans across the state may have.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to learn more about that as we go. And State Representative Speaker of the House Lisa Damoth joining us here on Chasm Radio. Also, earlier in the week, the governor had a supplemental budget proposal. Is that true?
He did. Yes, he did. So the governor came out. This is the year that we do our supplemental budget. So adjustments, we're looking for ways to make things more affordable for Minnesotans. House Republicans are taking a strong stance. We are not going to be increasing taxes on Minnesotans. That is not what is on the table for us at all. But the governor did come out with a supplemental budget. Some of the things in there are investments into or the modernization of IT systems. So when you think for Department of Human Services, the services that go through our counties, Joe, the IT systems that our counties are forced to use to get this work done are 30 years old. It's unbelievable. So if you think back in your mind with me, think a green screen with a spinning little dial. That is what, and Stearns County, they sat me down over a month ago and walked me through different screens of what their employees have to do. So when you think of county employees that have to, or their job is, you know, helping people get the services that they might need. Maybe it is nutrition, or maybe it is something for disabilities or Medicaid, or, you know, services where people are struggling. Those are things that our county employees are having to wait on these antiquated systems that are just out of date and hard to work with. The problem with that is it causes more errors because they have to enter the same information screen after screen after screen. It takes a lot of manpower, workforce power, to get this done because it's less efficient. So part of what the governor has in his supplemental budget is improving these IT systems at a state level, which will help our counties. That helps prevent fraud. So everybody is excited to hear that. And it also makes things more efficient for county employees as they're doing their work. So that's something very good that we're happy about. A couple of the concerning things in his budget proposal is cuts to nursing homes. That's off the table. We will not be looking at cutting nursing home funding. We know as we're trying to find care for loved ones across the state, it's been very challenging. Another cut that the governor has proposed is to special education in our schools. That is off the table because our schools are mandated to provide special education to our students, yet they need the funding to be able to do that. So we're not looking at doing those cuts. So it's kind of a mixed bag. A couple good things we can agree with. We want to fight fraud. We want to upgrade systems. That should have been done when we had an $18 billion surplus, but it wasn't. But yet, those cuts that are being talked about, there's no way we're going to do those.
Yeah, just to follow up on that IT upgrade, too. You know, like you said, they're 30 years old. Well, there's been a lot of, I'm sure, opportunity within the last three decades to do that, like everybody does with their computer, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not anything that really catches the attention of voters. You know, if I talk to you about, hey, let's upgrade these systems and it's going to cost a few million dollars, people are not going to understand that. But when you look at the fact that it has been pushed down the road this far, like you said, Joe, even when we had an $18 billion surplus in 2023, that would have been the best time because it has an investment that will carry us forward and save us money. I heard one state, Wisconsin, they have one caseworker in their social services because they have a little bit more upgraded system, one caseworker to 900 people, where in Minnesota, because of our delayed systems and our antiquated systems, we have one caseworker for only 300 people. So we could even have some cost savings as we go forward. So we'll have more to talk about that as time goes on. We'll see if we can get that over the finish line. But again, concerns in the governor's supplemental budget, but a few things we can get behind, that fraud prevention and upgrades for modernization.
Maybe I watch too many detective shows, but you know, by saying, well, we need IT upgrades and that'll help out on fraud, is that a little diversion from the real issue?
No, well, fraud is still the issue because it keeps going on. But if we can actually make upgrades that help catch fraud, you know, within the systems, like safeguards, internal controls, that's what we want to invest in. So, but no, we're not diverting from that because our tax dollars have been stolen by fraudsters. We need to prevent it from happening anymore.
I just imagine these old computers and they're playing Oregon Trail from when I was like in elementary school or something.
Literally, Joe, that is what we are talking about. You would not believe it. I'm so grateful to the people at Stearns County that had me sit down, and we took about 15 or 20 minutes, and they walked me through what their employees have to do. I was shocked that that's what's still being used. Yet the people that are applying for these things are doing it on their cell phones with upgraded systems, yet we're asking county employees to use an antiquated, broken system.
Yeah, it's like me trying to run a race with some sandals on. It's not going to work.
I usually don't run races at all, but sandals would make it really hard.
I've heard people run. I haven't either, Lisa. I've heard all about it. I heard it's really great, I guess. So, heck. Well, Lisa, thank you very much. We're out of time here, but we'll look to visit with you next week, and I hope you can enjoy some of the warm weather this weekend.
I will. Thank you so much, Joe. Always a pleasure to talk with you and your listeners. Have a great weekend, everyone.
All right. State Representative, Speaker of the House, Lisa Damith, joining us here on CHASM Radio.